Hello, this is the Internet Report's bi-weekly Pulse Update, where we keep our finger on the pulse of how the internet's holding up week over week, exploring the latest outage numbers, highlighting a few interesting outages, trends, traits, and the general health of the internet. Today, we're going to be discussing the nuances and resulting outcomes of how networks interact with applications and vice versa, how to make change in an environment that is really 24 hours, and what happens when a planned change doesn't quite have the intended outcome. And to do all of that, I'm joined this week by my good friend and colleague, Kamal Sanjit. How are you, mate? How have you been? I know you've had a busy week. It's been ages since I last spoke to you.
Hi, Mike. Good to be on the Internet Pulse. It's been busy, but busy is good, I would say. Besides that, I'm looking really forward to speak about some of the observations that we had and some of the lessons that we learned from these new events that we're going to discuss today.
Before we get started, in terms of housekeeping, we'd love for you to hit like and subscribe so you too can keep your finger on the pulse of the internet each week. And please keep your feedback coming in. What we've received so far has been brilliant. And it really is appreciated and it helps us to shape the show. So you can reach out to us anytime at internetreport@thousandeyes.com and we'll do our best to address your questions in future episodes. All right, with that, let's get started and look at my favorite part of the week, the numbers. So if we actually look at the figures we've got coming out from there, so we've seen this increase as we come out of the January timeframe, we start to see this increase, then we see a slight dip coming into sort of the first week of this pulse update peak there. So that week of the 16th of January, we start to see a very small decrease, a 3% decrease. Again, this is kind of seasonal. It comes in there, we could say it's sort of more even there. But then what happens in going into the next week is we see this huge increase around from there. So we jump from 245 to 373 observed outages around from there. That's like a 52% increase. So sort of nearly doubled getting on for about double there. This pattern's actually matched domestically. So I look at those patterns coming across from a North American perspective, which are the figures we can see there in black, the 57 to 102. Again, I see this big increase. Now, when I'm talking about this being an impact or giving me the health of the internet, this is what I mean coming up from here. So as I said, I expect to see increases, but this is a large increase. And what this kind of tells me is there's some sort of major occurrence going on in this area there, which we'll get to in a minute. We go from there. But what are your thoughts on sort of when we see these figures? What does it sort of tell you looking at there?
And this is quite interesting. In fact, if you think about it, we were coming off of the really quiet period. There was a holiday season, change freezes go into the effect. People, hopefully spend some time with the families, enjoying some time off. And then what you end up seeing is, let's do our work all over again. The fact that you posed your, change management procedures and stuff like that means that, they're going to pile up. And, probably with some of these changes that were being executed, sometimes to improve stuff, but often just to scale up the network, if you think about it, right? Especially for the large providers, if you delay something, that just means that, there's going to be more on your plate once you come back. So, I feel like this, or it looks to me that this is actually just, piled up change management procedure related work plus plus scaling efforts and things like that. However, it's quite a bit of a jump if you think about it. 373 outages globally, that's a big jump. Now, I'm pretty sure that some of these things were connected with some of the outages that we saw last week happening, so we can touch base on that a little bit later on.
The other aspect of this, before we move off the numbers, is this. If I look at the percentage of the US-centric outages, and this is something we can go into detail in a sort of another podcast, I guess, but it accounted for sort of 26%. The previous week, it was on the previous fortnight period, it was a 27% that the US outages occurred from that. But the reason I bring that up really is that what we've seen as evolving over the period of time, as I say, I look at these numbers all day, every day. I see them in my sleep dancing. It's like that scene in Dumbo with the pink elephants dancing around. I just see numbers coming from there. But what I'm seeing is that if we think about the US-centric providers and network providers around from there, they have large networks around there as well. You make a change in one area there, even if it's an engineering change, you will have almost a domino effect which starts to come down and impact sort of other regions around from there. We have this large coming across from there. But what I've started to see now, sort of seeing it decrease from like a 46% centric influence coming down to sort of these 20s there. So what that kind of tells, like I said, well, I won't go into it now. We can go into it in sort of more detail. There's an improvement around how you reducing that impact. Now, some of this might be coming from evolution. Well, I'm assuming some of it might become an evolution of the technology. So we're moving to some sort of more SDN, some software defined type environments there. But also some of it's actually becoming more aware of how the interconnection dependencies connect together. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is, like, if you think about networks, right, it's a tier one or even tier zero service. You know, if the network goes down, everything goes down, right? Like, there's like this negative cascading effect. And, you know, even though we as an industry came really, really far, I think it's still to a certain degree fragile environment. Even though the changes that are small in nature, that should be benign, actually could have negative effects. And now, you know, depending on how good your visibility and network monitoring is and stuff like that, and how much do you care to, in fact, not how much do you care, what's the granularity of the visibility that you have? You know, you're gonna see that impact, and you know, potentially your customers are gonna see negative effects of these. Of these changes. So again, like, you know, networks are kind of fragile, you know, and as you start doing the changes, which you must do, you know, it's an inevitable cycle of the industry, you know, you're gonna see the effect even for the things that should have been benign.
So let's shift gears and let's take a look into some of the outages we've seen over the past couple of weeks in a little bit more detail. All right. So throughout January, we've observed several outages and disruptions that both reinforce this need to actually sort of look what's going on from there. You just talked about that understanding of the visibility, my dependencies coming from there, but also pose challenges around sort of when it comes up to appropriate monitoring. You know, what do we actually need around from there? So the first one I just want to touch on really sort of happened on January 11th. Around from then, it was the FAA outage there. And it caused the US airspace to be temporarily closed down when the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration's, the notice, so what is it, the NOTAM, the Federal Aviation Administration's Notice to Air Missions, which is effectively their, the manifest, so the ability to sort of information sharing, so I'm desperately trying to get out there. For the aircraft to be able to take off. And it's sort of this manifest and everything around there, we actually sort of need the information so that we can have our flight plans locked and everything from there so they can actually sort of get on. If that system's down,
That grounded
plane's back
everything,
off.
right?
Correct.
That's good. Yeah.
And this is kind of significant from there. So the initial explanation that came out from that was it was a damaged database file, and it then turned out that it was accidentally deleted that file from there. So there was a dependency on a particular file. So there wasn't a network issue, but there was a dependency within the application itself. You know, this file that ran from there. But it does pose a couple of problems or questions, not problems, right? Pose a couple of questions that I can think of there. So one is this is a 24 by 7 system. You know, this 11,000 flights actually grounded. We couldn't actually take off from there. The flow-on effect in terms of scheduling and cancel flights, and I had a cancel flight last week, and I know how annoying that can be. So it's this flow-on effect, but so I can't interrupt this system, so I can't do chaos engineering, I can't test this system, see my dependencies on. How could I go about actually sort of verifying this around, or what are the steps I might be able to take, sort of assume to mitigate my risk that this might not happen again?
You know, that's a good question. I think that majority of these cases similar to this one are gonna tie it back to operational excellence, honestly. Like, it's really hard to predict, you know, what's gonna happen in certain scenarios. And not that alone, like, in majority of the cases, to your point, you might be dealing with legacy systems that were built maybe decades ago, as part of which, you know, deleting a single file is going to have negative cascading effect on complete application and going to ground complete fleet in the US, right? Which is kind of like really surprising if you think about it. In 2023, you know, when we are taught to build highly redundant applications that can survive these kind of like, you know, partial outages and stuff like that. You know, having a single file being deleted, you know, both in the production and on the backup causes like really big problem. Ultimately, it comes down to the operational excellence. You know, do you have your change management procedure ready? Is it properly reviewed? You know, are you ensuring that you are potentially limiting the blast radius of your change? Who reviewed your change? You know, whether a sufficiently experienced person is executing the change itself. Those are all the questions that one needs to ask, you know, to a certain degree, until better times as part of this, these applications are modernized, needs to be asked.
Yeah, that's good. That's, yeah, the operational excellence is there. It's a process, and we've got process and people have to be involved across from here. And then the other aspect of, obviously, then you add the visibility on top. To go on for that one there. Let me just sort of change a little bit just to start to go into another outage there. Okay. So on January 19th, we observed a range of web applications sort of going down. So, you know, we can see here sort of PayPal, Cash App, Target, Reddit going down from there. The fact when we typically see sort of these go down here, we're looking for some common one. We've just been mentioning about the fact about, yeah, we were joking around those sort of common aggregating points. But when I see some pattern like this, I'm spread across different applications. I'm looking for some sort of common host or something in from there. So if I actually then go to look at that from the server network, what I start to see here is Fastly. So Fastly is actually from here. So I start to see indication of where my potential problem kind of lies. We're looking at an application layer, but also what I actually see there is actually really short. And the reason I've picked this out is for a couple of reasons and why it's sort of notable from there. And for one of those, it was really clean, right? So it was actually clean. It was a 6-minute outage from there that came from there. It was identified and sort of mitigated going off from there. And it was what I call a light switch. There was no problems. There was problems. There was escalation problems, and there was a resolution when it went from there. It was turned off, it was turned on, it went from that one there. And the other thing I want to sort of point out for this is that Fastly were really good about getting the information out from here. What they identified it was being is they identified there that it was an issue that occurred after a change that actually made. They recognized that there was a problem, and they rolled it back. And then we actually sort of saw straight away this sort of change. We went from there, the rollback and the rectification, everything come back online. Very small duration. So they came back and they said from there, it was really interesting. It was short. The time of day it was actually occurring from there is also indicative of what was going on in terms of, one, we've identified the terms of change, but we saw it happening at the top of the hour. And it was also at 6 p.m., which is kind of interesting, which I'd sort of like to explore. So what are the type of things we make about that? Why would I make a change at 6 p.m.? I realize it was a very small impact in terms of 6 minutes, but you know, what are we starting to see, or what do you think about patterns of those sorts of things happening?
Yeah, the thing is, like, the first thing that I observed when it comes to this event is the fact that they were really spot on when it comes to, we observed the issue on the status page, you know, we are doing remediation, we identified it and we are remediating. Like, I think that communication here was spot on, and like, kudos to Fastly on that one. Now, again, operational excellence is a big topic of, I guess, today's conversation. Like, this is something that probably slipped in, right? Did the unexpected thing, and, you know, fortunately enough for Fastly, they discovered it really fast and rolled back. However, interesting thing when it comes to all CDN and DDoS providers is the fact that they have like this enormous impact when something like this happens, right? Yeah. So for example, what's gonna happen is, like, you know, they are essentially, people are advertising all of their stuff to them, and then they are re-advertising that to the rest of the internet, or depends on how it's configured, right? But essentially the first request for any kind of service that uses CDN usually gets terminated within the CDN network, right? And, you know, this is a perfect example as part of which, when you show the server network, how Internet Insights very quickly collapsed into Fastly's ASN or Fastly's network, right? Which actually speaks a lot about the Internet Insights itself, how quickly you can actually narrow down where the potential issue is as well. I really like that functionality, and, you know, demos was pretty nice as well. But yeah, in general, like, it's operational excellence. These CDNs similar are going to have the global effect always, just due to the nature of the business that they are in, similar to DDoS preventing companies as well. However, It's not the first time we are seeing something like this. It's not the last time. If you can recall, middle last year or something like that, it was like this huge Akamai outage that affected everyone as well. You know, now the difference between this one and the Akamai outage is the fact that Fastly recognized the scale was different. Like, yes, well, the scale was global. The fast at which you were resolving the issue was significantly faster. So again, kudos to Fast in this particular case.
But let's move on now really to a really quite another subtle outage again. So no pictures here, but I want to just talk this one through because it was fascinating. So on January 17th, with a subset of Microsoft 365 users in the Eastern US, all right, so Eastern US, seaboard up from there, sort of Massachusetts area around there, reported application issues. Microsoft opened investigations, and after an hour, they said it wasn't a typical application issue there. It was a very specific bunch of users from there, and they identified, they notified that they said telemetry indicated there was a Microsoft managed network environment is healthy, so everything on their side was good, but it was actually limited to a specific ISP. What was, you know, they, and this went through, and they were then able to identify within the ISP itself, there was a common denominator which ISP it was from there. They notified them, and then through a combination of resets and traffic rerouting, the ISP was actually able to resolve it, and the application accessibility problems went away. They got from there. All right, so the outage, you know, in terms of global aspect, it was there. I used to live in Massachusetts, so I can feel their pain about sort of not having that connectivity. But what was really subtle around there was this concept that was impacting one application. All right, so it's only affecting Microsoft 365. All other applications they had running across from there using the same ISP from these endpoints was actually running from there. It's not clear exactly what went wrong on the ISP side, but I have seen this situation before, right? So I've seen it in a couple of instances. There's this complex interaction between the application and the network itself. It's not just a question of understanding we have connectivity. You know, we're more than rails. The network is going to interact with the application, and the application is going to interact with the network in different ways in different areas across from there.
That's correct, right? And this, again, speaks to the fact that, you know, even though we went through a really long path of, you know, improving our networks, improving resiliency and stuff like that, they are still very fragile, right? The thing is, like, you know, in this particular case, we are speaking about really large tier one provider, right? They have a global footprint, and depending on how Microsoft was advertising their prefixes for that particular service or set of services, it really depends, like, you know, whether that was like isolated to the prefix was itself isolated to the service itself, or it was like spread across different services, right? That's the first thing that we would need to look into. The second thing is, like, you know, it all depends on how this global provider was routing their prefix, right? Mm. And potentially it was routed towards the pod which potentially had some issues. Now, you know, internet is quite interesting medium. A lot of different things can happen, as you already know, right? Like, sometimes you're going to deal with the over-utilization on certain interfaces, right? Sometimes you're going to have a CRC error that's corrupting, like, a large portion of the network. And sometimes you see, like, your isolated example is part of which, you know, from really not any kind of obvious reason, single applications being affected. Now, to your point, whether that's like some tuple that's, you know, being affected for that specific thing or something like that, like, who really knows, right? And, you know, that speaks about also requirements of having a really good RCAs, you know. RCA is not just for the company to say, look, like, we identified the issue, right? There is a problem with... There's a problem that we observed, and it's not about, you know, publishing that so that people can blame them. It's actually for the community to learn from it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. And you talked about the RCA, the root cause analysis around from there, and that's an interesting point, because I want to put a pin in that. I want to take that, because how much information should I totally agree if I can do it and I can learn from it, but then how much information should I actually pass on to there? And I think we're going to sort of touch on that a little bit when we sort of move on to the next outage, which in this case actually is a Microsoft outage. But I'm going to leave it to you to actually sort of take us through there, Kamal.
this was a pretty large-scale outage that Microsoft experienced. So what really happened is that on Wednesday, January 25th, around 7:05 UTC, Microsoft observed issue as part of which multiple services such as Outlook, Teams, SharePoint, and others started being really unresponsive to customers. Looking into more details about the event, here at Thousand Eyes, we observed that this was clearly a BGP-related event or you know, something that affected BGP to that point. And if you look at the collectors that we have, pretty much everything went to red, which is quite indicative about, you know, what went on.
That's really good. There's a couple of things that come out from there. And I should probably preface this by saying that you've actually just written a rather brilliant blog that we'll put in the show notes around from there. And I know you and Angelique have just done an internet report podcast, which goes into detail. So I strongly urge everybody to go and listen and read that. They'll give you a real detailed understanding and analysis of what went on from there. But what I want to sort of just take around from there is a couple of interesting points. So we now know from there that Microsoft has said that this was a result of a configuration change, where they actually tried to make a change to an IP address, I believe, on one of their WAN routers around from there. How could then sort of talk us through a little bit, how would that manifest itself? Is there any way they could have actually got out of this sort of this massive degradation that went on when it came around from there? Or was that just the nature of the change that was made?
That's a really good question, Mike. So this event is quite interesting in its own nature. So based on the preliminary RCA that Microsoft published, it looks like obviously it was a IP address change on the WAN device, right? Now, if you think about it, and if you think about how BGP works, this really shouldn't have happened. If you think about it, right? You know, worst case scenario, you change the loopback IP address of the a device that everyone is peering with. Everyone tore down the BGP sessions, prefixes get withdrawn, right? That's the scenario. And, you know, Microsoft is 100% operating highly redundant, highly reliable network. Like, it's out of question whether that was a problem, right? Like, it's not for sure that's not a problem, right? However, like, what then can explain this kind of event, right? That's the real question here.
Yeah.
I think in this event, we might have seen like two events unfold. The first one is like there was this IP address change that caused the effect, right? There was a negative, quite big global outage, quite visible to customers and, you know, everyone that was, you know, taking a look. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure that there was a lot of internal pages, SRE teams and RE teams being engaged to see like the health of the services that they are usually monitoring. And then they realized, okay, you know, there is this networking change that happened, you know, in the typical and normal human reaction to events such as this one is let's roll back. Right. Yeah. However, in this particular case, if you roll back, you're going to cause all of this change all over again. So that's gotcha. What I think was happening at 7:42. Right. Like, I think like they essentially rolled back and that caused again this flux of BGP updates that potentially caused the CPUs to spike quite a lot, you know, try to compute the what goes into forwarding tables and stuff like that. Now, you know, again, modern capable, you know, WAN devices should be able to compute this in a really short amount of time. However, we are not speaking about a typical company here. We are speaking about Microsoft, which is really well peered with multiple transit providers, multiple peering and transit routers, you know. Size of the ribs were really large, right? Probably. Yeah. And what I'm speaking now is one of the theories that could explain what they were seeing. Essentially, if this was to happen on a really busy, interconnected, interpeered root reflector, we might see something like that as part of which, you know, the collector itself is having a problem to recomputate, you know, then it's re-advertising prefixes. Everyone else is busy churning the large routing tables and stuff like that, you know, and then you roll it back at the top of that again, causing it to do it all over again. The other scenario that I was thinking about is, you know, potentially SDN controller that holds the complete logic and intelligence of, over the what really gets installed into FIPS goes offline, right? From the IP address change perspective, right, or something like that, you know, devices lose intelligence. They start to computing stuff and stuff like that. Both of these theories are something that could have happened in large scale environment, and I'm just speaking from the network network engineering experience from large scale company perspective.
Finally, on that point, there is that one of the things, you know, we're always on about status pages, and in this case, the status page was reasonably up to date. We're still behind the occurring, you know, the mm-hmm. The alerts were coming. We were seeing alerts coming out from there. It was immediate from there. What do you think in terms of delivering information across the status page? How much should they have put across on us? How much do you think they could have put across on a status page? And how much is it beholden effectively on you as a user or you as a customer to have that visibility?
It's an interesting balance, I think, right? So the first thing is like you as a end user or as a company that heavily relies on software as a service applications such as Office 365 is, you know, I fundamentally believe that you should have your own monitoring set, and not just from this perspective, from this particular event perspective, in like it could have been any other service, right? And yeah, if experience taught us anything, it's that it happens to everyone. Like there's no company that haven't suffered similar outage in like reasonable time, right? The other thing is like you really want to be in a position to rule out where the issue is, right? And so without visibility, you don't have, you know, possibility to see where the problem was. So for example, like if I was a SaaS user at the time, I might be asking myself, you know, is it really my network or it's Microsoft, right? And I would potentially suspect that it's my network or my network, given the all the experience high levels of uptime that Microsoft usually provides, regardless of like, you know, what's the information that and how quickly a provider is providing information on there, you know, you should really strive towards your own visibility, not just for the services that are in the cloud, for your own services that you are operating, pretty much for everything. You want to be in position where you are in the control, right? And then the other thing is like how much information goes into the these public advertisements. I think like better question would be how quickly do you provide information that you are dealing with the issue? Like that's more meaningful to customer, right? But the second thing is like, kudos to Microsoft also here for being transparent and providing glimpse of what really happened. What I ultimately want to see is like essentially what I can learn from it, and you know, how can I improve my own network based on someone else's experience, which is the best case, you know, best case going forward.
Exactly, that's the whole point. Yeah, we've come full circle to that single aggregating point that does it, but also that community learning, providing that visibility. And it's, you've hit a nail on the head there. Well, certainly from my perspective, is that the thing I want to know is where is the issue? Who's responsible for fixing that issue? And therefore, they have enough information at that point to either mitigate it or sit and wait it out. Thanks very much, Kamal. As always, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so very much. It's been my pleasure speaking about these outages, and I hope to see you in one of the upcoming Pulse episodes in the future.
Absolutely. You're top of my list for guests, mate. Don't worry about that. So that's our show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us on Twitter. As always, if you have questions, feedback, whether it be good, bad, or ugly, or guests you'd like to see featured on the show, send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. That's also where new subscribers can claim a free t-shirt. So just send us your address and t-shirt size and we'll get that right over to you. So until next time, goodbye.